Well, this is the last in a series of messages that I've preached on life in the afterlife. And let me apologize for my voice up front. I'll try not to let it bother me if you'll try not to let it bother you. But I've had my vocal cords are inflamed a little bit, but I'm getting over it. And let's see what God has to say to us today as we think about out-of-body experiences. Life in the afterlife. There are a lot of different people who have these out-of-body experiences. In other words, they say, I died and I came back to life. And they will give you, and I'll give you some of the characteristics that are very general for many of those things in just a moment. But they're all very similar. But I have talked to people and I've said, do you know for sure if you died, you're going to heaven? And they say something like this, oh yes, I died one time. And I experienced this, 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 and this. Therefore, it wasn't so bad. And I know that I'm going to heaven. Now, their lifestyle doesn't back it up. And they've not followed the Lord in baptism. They hadn't gotten in church. They haven't done all those things. But based on some experience, underline that word, if you allow your belief system and your theology to be based on experience, you're in trouble. Because the devil can give you the experience of your life. Now we have to know what the Word of God says. Turn to John 11. We'll just use these two verses as springboard verses, John 11, 25 and 26. This is the truth of the Word of God. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? I believe it's the Word of God. Books have been put out by Elizabeth Kubler Ross. Some of you perhaps have read them. A number of books. Raymond Moody Jr., not the Raymond Moody some of you and I knew, he's with the Lord now, but he wrote a book entitled Life After Death, and then a book entitled Beyond Death's Door, Maurice Rawlings. Many people have read those and they think that they're accurate, and they blend that in with their belief system that would distort that. Many of the stories in those books, if you study them and read them and compare them, are very, very similar. And here are some of the similarities in these experiences that these people have and many times put a lot of stock into. One of them, of course, is that they are dying in some hospital room somewhere and they are pronounced dead. They hear somebody say that. They're gone. That's it. They have passed. They died. And then they experience this uncomfortable, these are similarities now, that people come back and tell about after they go through that experience. They experience something that is very uncomfortable, a loud noise, a loud ringing, a loud buzzing that they hear. And then there seems to be a rushing that they sense. They're going through a dark tunnel at a very rapid speed as they rush through that tunnel. Then all of a sudden they are out of their body. And even though they've been declared dead, they are up above their body. In some cases they describe while people, doctors and nurses are working on them and trying to resuscitate them, massage the heart, do whatever they do to try to keep them alive, that they are up there watching as they do that, and they're wondering at first what's going on. Many times they experience briefly what they would call the spirits of loved ones that have died, that have gone on before, and they experience seeing them, and there is a conversation, not in word, but in signs and that type thing. Also, one of the real key things is they say we experienced this beautiful light, this warm, beautiful light, this personage, where they would describe it as a light. And they often say that my whole life is played back very quickly. It seems like right in front of me, right before my spiritual eyes as I'm having them. And then as they get about to that experience, they are headed out, they believe, somewhere, and they hit a boundary. They hit a border that stops them. And they are forced to come back to earth into that body. And usually, they don't want to go back into that body because of these things that they have experienced. They resist going back into the body. They often describe having a feeling of love, a feeling of joy, a feeling of peace. But then they're reunited after that brief period of time with their human body back here on earth. Later, they tell people about it, but people laugh and scoff, and they really don't want to hear about it and don't want to believe it. Some out of interest would. Now, those are the general descriptions of the good out-of-body experiences that people have. And I want to be quick to tell you that all of them are not like that. They don't put those in their books. But there are some out-of-body experiences where people think that they are dying or have died. They are in that sphere that you and I know nothing about. But there, for instance, would be cases where there are men, and these are on record, where they felt that they were going to hell immediately. As they were going through this, they did not go through all of these other things necessarily, but immediately sensed that they were going in and out of life and hell and back and forth, and they were headed toward hell. And they were crying out, and they would say to the doctors, please, as they would come to just a little bit, please don't quit. Please resuscitate me. Please help me. Please, whatever you do, don't quit. I have been to hell, and I don't want to go back. I'm experiencing all of this during this period of time. And they beg and plead with the doctors, don't let me die. Do whatever you have to do to keep me alive. Revive me. You see, all of the out-of-body experiences, that little time period where people are in and out of that in-between thing that some people would call death, which really isn't death, that time is not always a good time. By the way, these kinds of experiences are not new to the modern culture and society of our day. These have been around a long time. They've been around in India. They've been around in the Orient. They have practiced in ancient times astral travel, leaving the body through powers that be to take them to other parts. They have gone to other parts of the land, described what happened that nobody else could know, and told about it as they would come back into their bodies. Astro travel, astro projection, and I might add to you very quickly that the occult are very, very good at doing this, and they do practice that today. The occult in many different ways. Soul projection. Ed Morrill, to give you a case in point, was a prisoner, and this was years ago when they would oftentimes mistreat prisoners. That would often be the case where they would mistreat those prisoners. And he experienced torture, terrible torture. And he said he got to the point the torture was so bad that he could actually project himself out of his body and watch those who were torturing his body. And this was a very real experience to him that only he could describe. Now, today we have modern thanatologists. These are people that deal with death and dying, and they are called thanatologists. And many of those experiences that they describe today are very similar to the ones of the occult, the ancient astral travel, and the same type things that existed then. Now, let me tell you some that they say were able to do this. Alexander the Great. They claim, thanatologists today claim, that Alexander the Great could leave his body. That's why he could win all of those battles that he won, because he would be just like an aircraft that would go out and look over the situation and come back into his body and be able to win that battle. Zoroaster. There is a religion called Zoroastrianism. I've met some people who belong to that religion, talked to them for a period of time, and they were visiting some very dear friends of ours in Roanoke, Virginia. Zoroaster was said to leave his body, and there are those people who believe that, and they follow that religion. It's not a large religion, but it is there. Muhammad, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Was said and claimed that he could leave his body and come back into his body. African tribes today, in some of the most remote places, still practice this very same thing. They have witch doctors, and these witch doctors lead in some of this astral travel that they are involved with. In Afghanistan, in Tibet, in the mountains of Tibet, these Tibetan priests and others, the modern thanatologists quote them as they are talking about their writings, and they're trying to make people not fear death and to make people think that there is no heaven, there is no hell. This is what they're up to, just so you'll understand what they're up to. And so they will often quote the modern thanatologists in their writings about these things to back up these OBEs, or out-of-body experiences, that are going on that people are experiencing today. Now, this should not surprise you that Satan worshipers, I suppose some of you are naive enough not to think that there are not some Satan worshipers meeting right now while we're meeting worshiping God. They're all over the world. And they are here. They are present. There are many Satan worshipers, and they have these different levels that are involved in Satanism. Now, the thanatologists sort of explain that away and say that some people who are not used to it, they get carried away and so on and so forth. But there are seven levels of Satanism. By the way, there are seven levels of Mohammedism, of the Islamic faith. You can make of that what you want to, but there are some great similarities here in their leader and in these very same things. The mediums of today, the occult practitioners, parapsychologists. The other morning I was getting ready, and I always try to listen to the news. I wanted to see what the weather was going to be. And there was Debbie Denman on Channel 8. And she was talking to a parapsychologist. And she said, "Do you really believe in ghosts?" And the woman said, "Oh, I sure do." She began to describe ghosts and talking to ghosts and so on and so forth and all of that. And my computer was handy, so I shot him a little note on WFAA Channel 8 and said, in essence, "You dummies, why do you allow that trash on there? You need to have something else on there." I said it, I didn't cuss, but I said it a little stronger than that. And I said a little more than that. I don't even think my wife knew what I was doing. I just happened to have my computer real handy, and I got on it. And I hope they got it. And I hope they call me and interview me. That'd be fine with me. She's talking about all of this stuff. I do believe in demons. And demons, no doubt, will fight this message. But that may be why I have laryngitis. That might be part of that. And some of you say, "Oh, I don't believe it." Listen, you better read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. Now, there are some similarities between the OBEs and Bible teaching. There are some things that they say about the out-of-body experiences that we believe are true. because we believe the Bible agrees with that. I hate to say we believe any part of what they believe, but they believe that the dead continue to exist. I believe that, don't you? The dead continue to exist. Go back in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And they died and they were still existing. They believe that the soul maintains characteristics after death, that there is memory and some of the memory that is involved in that, and some things that would be there. Identity is maintained. They believe that they see people, they know those people, and they know who they are. They do not lose their identity as they have that out-of-body experience. They also recognize loved ones as they go through that. I believe that we'll know our loved ones in heaven, don't you? The Bible clearly teaches we will know even as we are known. And I believe that. There's communication that goes on. Well, we're going to communicate in a spiritual realm. We will not have these bodies. We'll be released from these bodies. We will communicate in a spiritual realm, and we will have a heavenly soul body that will not be like our glorified body, because we won't have that yet. Then they believe in a temporary state. In other words, they don't think that's the final trip in the out-of-body experience. And we don't think that that is our final ultimate trip either. And we know that someday we're going to be with Christ in heaven and be there forever and forever. But there are some great differences, some major and monumental and great differences. Here's something that they teach, that God is an angel-like being who will accept anyone and everyone. Doesn't matter how evil, how wicked, how bad, that this light, this God, this vapor, this gaseous vapor, whatever it is that they see, is going to accept everyone. Now, Matthew 13, I don't have time to read all these references, jot them down, but in verses 40 and 43, we know that he's talking about hell, and he says there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. Does that sound like God's going to accept everyone? Absolutely not. God will not accept everyone. And then Jesus is not unique to them. Jesus is not unique to them. This roving light that appears to everybody, good, bad, wicked, in between, whatever, this roving light is never identified as Jesus. They identify him in some of the foreign religions as Buddha. They identify him sometimes as Muhammad. And these are case records about that. But John 14:6 says, no man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus. And so it makes no sense. It cannot be the thing that is of God. They also teach, and this is one of the reasons they want you to read their books and explain this, they teach that there is absolutely no future judgment for sin. I wish I could believe that, but it ain't so. It isn't so either. I don't believe it. No further judgment. Raymond Moody Jr., makes this quote, the reward-punishment model. That's our model. The reward-punishment model of afterlife is abandoned. In other words, because all these people have all those experiences and they talk about them and tell about them, then the idea that you and I have, the reward-punishment model of afterlife, is abandoned. And they say that meeting the light, even though some of those deeds come back, that this light does not take them seriously and actually has a sense of humor and laughs about the bad things, the worst things that you and I have ever done, the most evil things. And he just says, ha ha, this light that comes. Out of body experiences, these people are proponents of a second chance. And there are those who've claimed that they went to hell and prayed in hell and relieved some people and got them out of hell in their out-of-body experience. Well, that's not true. God does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that. Friend, when you die, you'll never have another chance to get right with God. That's it. For time and for all of eternity, that is it. And then they claim that many times they are allowed to return to warn people, and that they have died, that they are saved, and they come back to warn people. And there might be some good that could come out of that. But you remember again the story of the rich man and Lazarus? And that rich man who died and went to hell, not because he was rich, but because he would not believe, because he didn't accept the gift of eternal life. That rich man said, "Please let me go back up there and tell my brothers not to come down to this horrible, awful place." And what did Jesus say? What did God say? They have the scriptures. They have the prophets. If they will not believe them, they're not going to believe somebody who comes back from the dead. And so God said, "No, that is not my plan." Now, are there some explanations for what goes on in out-of-body experiences? Are there some explanations possible? And I think there are. We may never in this life fully understand the origin of these things. But we're talking about possibilities. Some things that might explain what happens to these people who erroneously depend on those experiences as proof that there is no heaven, there is no hell, and no matter how wicked they've been, everything will be all right. One of those is a physiological or a physical factor or a neurological factor, these things that enter into it. We are, after all, just human beings. We're created in the image of God, but we're just human beings. And let me tell you, we have a brain. I've met a few I wondered about, but we have a brain. But when oxygen does not get to that brain can do a lot of things. And the human nervous system is affected by it, even if it's for a brief period of time. So we do not know what can go on physiologically and physically in the life of a person, or neurologically, when that happens, when they are going in and out of what we would call death. Then there is voluntary or involuntary cooperation or deception. Voluntary or involuntary cooperation and deception. That is, there is on the part of many of these the manipulating of the facts. They are not presented clearly. All of the facts are not presented, and they do many of those things because they are proponents of it. They want to believe it. They want others to believe it. And even if a Christian does have an experience during that period of time, they will take it and twist it and try to make it exactly what I've said, proof that there's no heaven, there's no hell. I have had people, I remember right now, a member of my church in Indiana, I went in to see him. And he said to me, "I died." I thought, "Man, what am I doing in your room?" You know, he said, "I died." He didn't really die. If he died, he would have come back. Believe that. That's true. That's the word of God. He didn't really die. Once you die, friend, completely, totally, absolutely, all the way, you don't come back. And he said, "I died." And I said, "Well," I said, "let me pray for you." And I said, "Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray that, you know, you're looking good, you're doing good, and I'm just going to pray that God will continue to bless you and give you longevity, many more years." He said, "No, that's not going to happen." I said, "Why?" He said, "When I was there," he said, "I was told by this light that I wasn't going to live much longer. I was going to die in just 2 or 3 weeks. Well, by the way, to make a long story longer, no, make it shorter, that guy lived for years. So whatever told him or whoever or whatever he experienced was lying about it, because he told me, "No need for you to pray for me. I know I'm going to die because I was told while I died that I was going to die." Boy, figure that one out. And he was a great guy, by the way, a great Christian guy that had lived a good, godly Christian life. So what happened to him during that time? And let me say this. I want to make another statement. I'm going to tell you that demons cannot control and live in Christians, but they can harass them and they can cause them some problems. And those that are unsaved, they can absolutely control their minds. But demons can disguise things and be deceptive. And I believe that demonic activity would explain most of what goes on during that time. Think about it. You say, well, it seems so sweet and so precious and so kind. Don't you know that the devil can transfer himself into an angel of light? Haven't you read that in your Bible? That he can do that. Therefore, here's why. Number one, Christ is never glorified in these situations. Never is he really glorified. Sometimes some Christians might think of it in those terms, and if they have a biblical background and they're saved. You remember when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus? Do you know what he did? He identified himself. When he appeared to him, now Saul was not dead, but Jesus, what I'm pointing out is that Jesus identified himself. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. That light that appeared to Saul. Jesus always identifies himself. When Stephen was dying, and he was dying, when Stephen was in that sphere there, what did he say? He said, I see a bright light. No, he said, I see Jesus. That's exactly right. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Now, we could spend months on this, really, but my opinion is basically this. My opinion is that OBEs, out-of-body experiences, though they are very real, and they are real to the person, these people actually probably never leave the body. And that is something that goes on in the subconscious mind. It is something that would be very much like sleep or a dream. Have you ever had a dream that was so real that you were glad you woke up? Have you ever had a dream that was so real you wish you hadn't awakened? You know, you said, man, I just inherited $1 million and a gold Cadillac and I had to wake up. We experience a lot of things in there while we're asleep in our subconscious mind. Some of them we wouldn't stand up here and tell about, would we? And some we would. So what's behind a lot of that stuff? The human psychic, so on and so forth. I'm just saying that that's what I believe. Now there are two things I want to mention very quickly as we wind up about these OBEs, out-of-body experiences. Number one, they don't know where they come from. We don't know where they come from. They don't know where they come from. That ought to be a red light warning to us. And always, they contradict the Bible. So if you got something you don't know where it's coming from and it contradicts the Bible, the general assumption could be this. It's of the devil. And the devil is trying to send people to hell and deceive people. And thinking there is no hell. And thinking that there is no heaven. And to try to get you to think there is no life after death that you need to be concerned with whatsoever. That whatever it is, not known to them, they don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's going to be okay. No matter if you've lived like the devil. No matter if you're Hitler or Mussolini. No matter if you're a child abuser who's raped 10 or 20 little children. No matter if you're a wild man that has gone crazy and murdered 5 or 6 people in a series of killings. Don't worry about it. Because when you die, you're going to see the light. And everything's going to be okay. What a satanic deception. Now, to the Christian, to the believer, there's no need for us to fear death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you something, Christian. When you come to the place of death and total death, I mean when you go all the way through to what is called death, when your soul and spirit leave your body to never come back into that body as a believer, let me tell you, Jesus will be there. God will be there. And He has taken the sting out of death for us already, as He said in 1 Corinthians. Thank God for that. It will be a beautiful entrance. It will not be something we'll wonder about when it's total, when it's complete. Our loved ones who've died before us, friend, I mean, they died. They didn't come back. They couldn't. They died. They went through the whole deal of death. It was a wonderful experience for them. And they wouldn't trade places with me and you today for anything. For anything. They wouldn't come back down here for anything. They've had the most wonderful experience that eternity could give them as they went through the doors of death into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank God we're going to see them again and know them. And here's another thing I want to say to all of us. No one is certain of how long you're going to live. Friend, you might live through the day and you might not. You might get on an airplane tomorrow and the thing crash. The pilots might go to sleep or get in an argument and fly you into a mountain like those two turkeys the other day. I'm glad I wasn't on that plane. Of course, 150 miles is not too far in an airplane, but it would seem that way to us. And here's the only right thing to do. Here it is. The bottom line, get saved. The light that you want is not that light. Not the OBE light. The light you want is the light of the world. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the light of the world. That's why you need to be saved today. My source is this book. There's what I believe. I believe this. Anything that contradicts it, I don't care what your experience was. I showed a young lady one time. She was all wrapped up in this junk theology. And I said to her, look, here it is, right here. Here it is, right here. I pointed to the scriptures. I read the scriptures. And here were her words. She said, Pastor, I don't care what that says. I know what I felt, what I saw, and what I experienced. That's dangerous. You better believe this book. The devil is the master artisan of deception. This is the book. And if you don't get saved the Bible way, I don't care how many times you think you've died and how many lights you see and how peaceful it is, you'll die and go to hell if you don't get born again. It's just that simple. You must be born again. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Thank God. Listen, if you're saved, you don't have to fear death. Oh, I know there's a human part there. I know that. I understand that. But we don't have to fear death. Jesus has taken care of it for us. If you're not saved, friend, won't you come and trust Christ? I don't know what you might be trusting to get you to heaven. Your good deeds, your works, your church membership, your baptism, your communion. I don't know what you might be trusting. But if it's not totally wrapped up in one person, Jesus, you're not saved. You must be born again. You got to be saved. Would you come and trust Christ today? Don't put it off. You see, you don't know when you're going to die. There is life after death. There is eternal life. We'll agree with the OBE people. There is life after death. But it's not always in heaven. Would you be saved today? Christian, are you walking right with God? You might die today too. Are we not only rapture ready, but are you ready to die? If today would be the day that your number is called. Are you living right? Do you have sins in your life you need to judge and get rid of? You have some practices you know good and well that God is not pleased with in your life. You know it. Suppose you died today. You'd stand before God. May God help us. Father, bless the preaching of your word. I pray that if there are lost people here, and I'm just almost positive, God, that in a crowd this big, there are people who are trusting the wrong thing to get them to heaven. They've never truly been saved. God, you'll never force them to get saved. But I believe you'll deal with them and speak to them and tell them that it's the right thing to do and help them not to fight the sweet conviction you're giving them right now. I pray they'd come to Christ. I pray you'd speak to hearts. Speak to us as Christians. Help us to rejoice that we'll see our loved ones in heaven. Help us not to be sad. Help us to be happy Christians, knowing our future through Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there's anything we need to change in our lives, anything we need to get right, any rededications, revival, we'd do it today in Jesus' name. Amen.